Yeah, this morning we're going to continue a series that we started last week where we're looking at community life and we're looking at being the people of God in community together. Today specifically, we're going to be looking at some of the one another's that are mentioned in the Bible. But let's just start by praying and just asking the Lord for help. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, this morning, Lord God, that we have your word and your word is true. Lord God, thank you that your word is living and it's active. Father, even sharper than a double-edged sword. Father, dividing between not just bone and marrow, but soul and spirit, Father. Getting, Father, to the very heart of things, Lord God, and exposing the motives of our hearts, Father. So we pray today as we bring ourselves under your word, Father, that our hearts will be changed. And Father, your Holy Spirit will go to work, Father, to make that change in our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name, because his name is precious and all-powerful. Amen. Amen. Okay, well, I've got a few verses in a moment. In fact, there's 59 of them that we're going to share, so hold tight to your seats. We're going to read them together. But I just wanted to begin this morning by imagining something. So imagine the kingdom to come. As believers in Jesus, we have the hope that this life isn't all that there is, but there's an age to come. At the moment, we have imaginations about what heaven's like, and there are going to be new heavens and a new earth. I want you to cast your imagination forward into the age to come and imagine what relationships will be like there. There will be no sin. There will be no selfishness. There will be no taking offense. There will be no jealousy. There'll be no misunderstandings. There'll be no grudges. There'll be no hatred. There'll be no bitterness. There'll be no need for forgiveness. What will relationships be like in the age to come? I want you to think about the prayer that Jesus gave his disciples to pray. In fact, let's pray it together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So we pray in the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as in heaven. And if you've imagined the kind of relationships that we will enjoy as children of God in the age to come, our prayer is today that the culture of heaven will invade earth through his people. Amen. So we are his church. Not just a community center, not just a club, but representatives of the kingdom of God. And when we talk about relationships as his children, sometimes we come into church with the mindset that this is just another thing that we do. But actually, let me tell you something that is true about your life if you're a believer in Jesus Christ here today. If you have been born again and the Holy Spirit lives in you, you are an altogether different order of person. You are a citizen, not only of this earth, but of the kingdom of heaven. And that means that the kingdom of heaven and its culture is represented on earth through you. And so we are his church. We are his people. We are an outpost of the kingdom of heaven on the earth. Hallelujah. So this morning, I want to remind us about what is at the core of the kingdom of God. What is central to the kingdom of God that we need to be reminded of this morning? We all know it, but what do we need to be reminded of this morning that is core and central to being the people of God and representing the kingdom of God here on earth? Well, I believe that at the very core of relationships, at the very heart of the kingdom of God on earth, is love. And so we're going to read a passage that you'll all be very familiar with in 1 Corinthians 13, starting at the very last verse in 1 Corinthians 12. And I'll just set it up with a little bit of context, but if you could turn to it in your Bibles, that would be great. This is the famous love chapter. But the Apostle Paul has just spent a whole chapter talking about the body of Christ. And it's one of his favorite analogies to talk about the church. And so if you think about your body and all of its various parts, obviously some of us love our bodies. Others have a love-hate relationship with their bodies. But the body is a wonderful thing. Because although it is one entity, all of the different parts of it are different and have different functions. And so it is with the church, that even though we are one entity, we're all very, very different and all play very different parts, but all of us are absolutely necessary to the working, the functioning, the health of the whole body. And so the Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians 12, he says things like, just as a body, though one has many parts, but all of its parts form one body, so it is with Christ, for we were all baptized by one Spirit to form one body, whether we're Jews or Greeks or slaves, or you might say Zimbabwean or Scottish, or wherever we come from, and whatever our background and whatever other part of our lives we represent, when we come together, we are one body. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. And even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. And so I want you to know today that you are a valuable part of the body of Christ. And although you're different to the person sitting on the same row as you in terms of your experiences and your personality and your natural abilities and your spiritual giftedness, you're very different to the people sitting around you, yet the Holy Spirit has placed you just where he wants you to be so that you may be a blessing and you may be a person used by him to build up others in the body of Christ. So he talks about this all the way through this chapter in 1 Corinthians 12, and he gets to the end and he says, He says, now, you are the body of Christ, each one of you is a part of it, and God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, prophets, teachers, workers of miracles, those with gifts of healing, those who help, those... I've just lost my place. Different kinds of tongues, those who... are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, do all have gifts of healings, do all speak in tongues? The implied answer to that question is no. Do all interpret? Now, eagerly, he says, desire the greater gifts. The very final verse in that passage says this, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. So he's basically said, listen, all of you are gifted in some way. Each of you makes up a part of the body of Christ. All of you are necessary to the health of the body of Christ. But I'm going to give you the key that unlocks the door of how this all works. And then he goes on to say this. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but I don't have love, then I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge and I have a faith that can move mountains, but if I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but I don't have love, I gain nothing. And then he goes on to describe love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It's not proud. It doesn't dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love doesn't delight in evil. It rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And Paul describes this as the most excellent way. And so a lot of Christians miss the point. They believe that to be gifted and to have ministries, to be religious, even fervent in their religion, is what it's all about. But the very point of your giftedness, the very reason God has gifted you with graces from heaven so that you can be effective in the body of Christ, it isn't so that people will look at you and think that you are gifted. It's not so that somebody would put you on a platform and give you an opportunity to prove how gifted that you are. But your giftedness isn't just a gift to you, but to each other. And so as I look around this room today, I see gifts from God. You are gifts from God. What God has placed in you is a gift to the body of Christ. But if we don't have love in our hearts, it's all meaningless. It's all meaningless. We can come on a Sunday and we can enjoy the word and we can sing the songs and we can serve one another and we can join teams and put our names on rotas. We can do all of the things that appear to be the things that Christians do, but if we don't have love, we miss the point. The whole point is that we love one another. Let me say this about God. God self-reveals as the God of love. In fact, he doesn't just say that I am the God who loves. He says, I am love. If you are a human being in this room today, put your hand up if you're not. If you are a human being in this room today, you have been created in the image of God. Hallelujah. You can get excited if you want to. You have been created in the very image of God. Now, if you are in Christ as a human being, the image of him that's been marred in other people in the world has been restored in Christ. And so as he progressively makes us more and more like Jesus, so the image of God is being restored in our lives for the world to see his glory through us. And so when God says that he is the God of love, and we call ourselves Christians, we should be the most loving people on the earth. Is that true? And the fruits of the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives, the evidence of his presence in our lives is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all of the other things. But the fruit of the Spirit, the evidence of God's presence in our lives is love. If we claim to be filled with the Spirit, we are people who love. Not because we're trying really hard to like that person, but because the Father who loves us pours his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit and causes that love to increase and overflow to each other and to everyone else. That's what the scriptures say. And so the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 says something really simple. He says, listen, you're the body of Christ. Each one of you makes up the body of Christ. Each one of you is a vital and important part of the body of Christ. Each one of you has been gifted by God. Each one of you has a ministry. Let me tell you this morning, I am a minister, but you are a minister. Say, I am a minister. God has anointed you and appointed you as a minister of the gospel, and you are equipped and gifted by him to be a blessing in the body of Christ. So this morning, if you want to get happy about the fact that God wants to use you, then you can smile at me right now. But he says, you're gifted, you're important, in fact, you're vital. But the whole point of those spiritual gifts is you may build one another up in love. Love is the most important thing. And so think about it today. How does your faith express itself? Because God says in another portion of Scripture that the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Think about how you love today. Think about how you have been loved by God. Think about ways in the past that you have been loved by God through other people. And without any condemnation on your life today, think about how you love one another and love others in Jesus' name. Can people see God's glory expressed through your love and the way you love one another? Galatians 5 verse 6 was the verse that I was referring to. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. So we're going to finish this message together. And then I'm going to interview a few people as we talk about the specifics of how this applies in the life of Hope Church. But we're going to have some scriptures up on the screen here. And I want us to say them together. Underneath each of the scriptures are the verses. So you might be able to see there 1, 2, 3, 6, 12 times in the New Testament, this verse is spoken from the lips of either the Apostle Peter or the Apostle Paul. So we're going to start with this one, and then as each one comes up on the screen, I want us just to encourage one another. There's, you know, a place in the Psalms where the person who's writing the Psalms, King David in most instances, he says, "Rejoice, O my soul. Praise the Lord, O my soul." And he's speaking to himself and reminding himself just how great and how glorious God is. And so this morning, as we speak these verses out, I pray that the Holy Spirit will be reminding us of the truth of the things that are on his heart so that he can express those things through our lives to one another. You up for that? Okay, let's start together. So love one another. Should we say it together? Love one another. Love one another deeply. Wash one another's feet. That's talking about service to one another, not necessarily that on a Sunday we're going to wash each other's feet. Although we could. There's nothing wrong with that. That's happened so many times. Be at peace with one another. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Live in harmony with one another. Stop passing judgment on one another. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you. Instruct one another. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Greet one another with a kiss of love. When you come together to eat, wait for one another. Have equal concern for one another. Serve one another in love. If you keep on biting and devouring one another, you will be destroyed by one another. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying one another. Carry one another's burdens. Be patient, bearing with one another. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. In humility, consider others better than yourself. Do not lie to one another. Bear with one another. Forgive what grievances you may have against one another. Teach one another. Admonish one another. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for one another. Praise the Lord. Should we give the Lord a round of applause? That's awesome, isn't it? Father, we love your word. Father, thank you for that reminder, Lord God, of just the beauty of what the body of Christ could be, Father, if we cared for one another in those ways. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Some of you here this morning, if you're like me, have said to yourself often, "Oh, how can I love the Lord more? How can I love the Lord better? How can I express my love for the Lord more completely?" It might be that this morning I've spoken to one or two people already this morning and you're struggling where you are in your walk with the Lord. But here's the thing. The Lord has done everything that is necessary to make the way open for you to come to the Father. He has placed no stumbling blocks, no barriers in your way. And every barrier that did exist because of our sin has been dealt with by Jesus on the cross. So in the past, in the temple where the Jews came to worship, a shadow of the greater things that were to come, when Jesus died on the cross with outstretched arms, in agony, not only in his physical body, but in his soul as he carried the burden of sin for the whole of humanity, it said that the clouds gathered, the sky became darkened, and the curtain in the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. That temple divided the inner sanctuary, the Holy of Holies, where the very presence of Almighty God was, the most holy place on the whole of the earth, from the place where those who had sin in their lives operated. First those who were priests, and then those who were Jewish men, and then the Jews, and then the Gentiles. And progressively, as they went out, more and more sinful people, and there was this barrier separating the most holy place from sinful humanity. When Jesus died on the cross, that symbolic curtain separating us from his presence was torn in two. And that curtain came down. That barrier that separated us from him came down in Christ Jesus. And now we have access through the blood of Christ into the very presence of Almighty God. Not only do we have access, but we are welcome. Not only are we welcome, but we are invited to come into his presence as children of God. Some of us are struggling this morning and we're saying, Lord, how can I more perfectly express my love for you? Listen, you can't earn his love and you can't earn his favor. But what happens when he fills your heart with his love is that all of the things that are on his heart become the things on your heart. All of the things he hates, you begin to hate. All of the things he loves, you begin to love. And let me tell you this about the people sitting around you. He is crazy about them. You might not think very much of them, but he is crazy about them. He loves them with an everlasting love in a way that none of us could ever comprehend. A love that's higher and wider and deeper and more magnificent than any one of us has ever experienced. That's the kind of love that he has towards that person who's sitting on the same row as you. Look around you today. Look at your brothers and your sisters. Look around you. Look at each other. These are people that God loves with a passion that sent Jesus, by the way, to the cross. And so you're asking yourself, Lord, how can I love you better? How can I love you more? The Apostle Paul, when he was pursuing Christians as a zealous Jew, wanting to destroy the way, wanting to destroy this band of Christians who were, in his eyes, heretics, people who were trying to corrupt pure Jewish the pure Jewish faith. He wanted to track them down. He had letters from the high priest so that these people could be imprisoned. And he met with Jesus on the Damascus Road. Do you remember that? Do you remember what Jesus said to him? He said, Saul, he wasn't called Paul yet. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Lord, persecute you? I'm persecuting Christians. I'm not persecuting you, I'm persecuting Christians. But Jesus so closely identifies with each one of us that if we are persecuting one another, we're persecuting him. The inverse is also true. If we're loving one another, we're loving him. And so at the end of the age, when the goats are separated from the sheep, oh Lord, Lord, when did I visit you in hospital? When did I feed you? When did I clothe you when you were naked? And Jesus will respond by saying, inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. Inasmuch as you loved these people selflessly, inasmuch as you poured out your love in my name to these people, you are loving me. And so he said to Saul, you're persecuting me when you persecute the church. And he said to those people who were faithful, he said, when you clothed those who were naked, and when you visited those who were in prison, and when you fed those who were hungry, and when you gave the little you had to the poor, you weren't just loving them, you were loving me. And so you're asking yourself this morning, how can I love the Lord better? The answer to that question is by loving one another. If you want to love Jesus, look for Jesus in each other. Look into the eyes of your brother or sister and see Jesus there. Look past their faults. Look past their failures. Look past their quirky personalities and all of the things that make their life difficult to love and see Jesus in them. Look past all of the superficial outward stuff that all of us have, by the way. You might look in the mirror and you might say, hey, nice to see you today. But you have stuff in your life that is difficult for other people to bear. There's stuff about your personality and there's stuff about the way you conduct your business. It might be that you're supremely confident and even your confidence affects the people around you. There's stuff about you that people find difficult to love. There's stuff about all of us that we carry that people really need to look past in order to see the very best. But the treasure within the jars of clay that Jesus talks about is the very presence of God himself. And so if we are earthen vessels carrying the glory of God, I want to encourage you today to look past the stuff that offends your heart in your brother and sister. And I want you to look closely and see Jesus. Because by loving one another, we're loving him. Having said all of that, how can we do that in Hope Church? There are many, many, many ways to express love and compassion. We're not into religion much as a church, by the way. So if you're looking for a formula, I'm not going to give you a formula today, but what I would say is that each of us, every single day of our lives, have opportunities to express the love of Christ, express our faith through loving one another in all sorts of ways. So it might be that the Lord puts somebody on your heart. It's happened to me this week, and it happens to me all the time, but do you know what usually happens? That person will flit into my mind and then flit out of my mind, and I think, later on I'll hear something about them and think, I should have picked up the phone when I had that prompting. If the Lord puts somebody on your heart this week, don't delay. Pick up the phone today. And call them just to say, listen, you were on my mind. I was thinking about you. You don't know how much that's going to bless somebody's heart. And it might be that you have the opportunity to show kindness in practical ways. We've talked about two people today who've been struggling with illness and haven't been able to get to church. Church, we are church. This isn't church, we are church. Haven't been able to be with their brothers and sisters on a Sunday. It might be that if you know of somebody who's in that situation, that you visit them, you encourage them, you can even pray for them. You might be able to take meals. Like there's some people I know who are pregnant in this church. Praise the Lord for new birth and new life. We're looking forward to meeting them face to face. But what happens when you give birth to a baby is suddenly this is all consuming. It might be that a few people here put together a rotor and deliver meals to those people who are about to have babies. That's not going to be organized centrally, by the way. That's going to be you guys sorting that out. How can you express love in practical ways like that? It might be that somebody's going through a really horrendous time, a really dark night of the soul. How can we express love to them? It might be that you don't know, you don't have all the answers, and you don't know how to love them. Just be there. Just be there. And just by being there is enough sometimes. And if you're aware of some stuff that needs to be dealt with, there are people in the church who God has gifted in all sorts of wonderful ways to be able to help people through to freedom. And so just access some of that stuff, access the gifting in others, recognize it and draw down on it. Because as a body, we can love one another like Christ loves the church. And so I want to invite some people this morning who hopefully we'll have some stories to tell of being on the receiving end of love and being able to offer love in some of our smaller group settings. So this is one expression of Hope Church. This is our corporate gathering on a Sunday. But we also have a number of midweek groups that we call life groups, where people can come together and build relationships that are deeper and where we can pray for one another and love one another and serve one another and step out in our spiritual gifts and all of that. So the three people that I've invited to come forward, if you would come forward now, and take your place on the green sofa. Let's welcome them as they come. So, this is Bonnie and Jackie and Muriel. Many of you will know them. If you can't see them, just take it from me that they are a very attractive group of people. And not only beautiful on the outside, but beautiful on the inside too. And God really loves them. Now, here are a few questions to ask you, and maybe you could. Some of you will have had an opportunity to think about these. Others wouldn't have had the opportunity. Now, how have you been able to express love for others by being part of a life group?
I think it's because when you're in a life group, you get to know people on a deeper level. In church, when you come, you see people, you don't always have time to talk to them, But in a life group, we get to know people, warts and all, and that's really good.
Yes. When you belong to a life group, you have the opportunity of, as Muriel has said, of getting to know each other really well. And in times when people go to hospital or they're not feeling well, you've always got people there beside you that will comfort you, that will help you. The times that I've been in hospital, my life groups and other people in the church have made meals for me, and that's been a real help to me, and that's only part of what life group means.
I belong to the men's life group, and one of the things we do in a life group is that because we know one another very well and we are open and honest to discuss issues that affect us. And if anybody has got any issues, maybe regarding work or illness, so we often table it and then we pray together. We pray for that person. And I've really benefited from, you know, such prayers.
Yeah.
So it's been quite good.
So all of you have said that just by being part of a smaller group, so this is one expression of church, but when you get to know some people very well, then you know what's going on in their lives. They're known by you, and you're known, and people can love each other through prayer and support and encouragement and in practical ways because there's that relationship depth. Okay, well, I wonder, some of you maybe have already touched on this, but can you share an instance of when you personally have been on the receiving end of love expressed as a life group member?
Yeah. Well, just walking in the door in hour one, you're always hugged. They're always full of love, and we love them. And for example, when it's our birthdays, all of us, we always get a lovely cake made for us, and it's really nice, and we just love our life group.
When I went away to Australia nearly 5 years ago, my life group that I was in at that time gave me a surprise party. It was a Christmas party because I wasn't going to be with them for Christmas, and really to say have a good time. And it was just the love that comes from that group, and I'm still loved by all the people in that group. The life group leaders are so welcoming, so loving, and so caring, and that's what you get from a life group.
Well, I've benefited quite a lot, you know, by being a member of the life group. One of the things we do, like a team, is our leader. When we share the gospel, when we share the scriptures, he opens it up to everybody to, you know, have a say. And, you know, people share their revelations or, you know, whatever God put in their hearts. Yeah. And that has blessed me quite a lot. And the other thing is that we also pray for, you know, for each other. And, for instance, when I had a job interview and I brought it, you know, before the live group, but they prayed for me, and I went for the interview, and I got the job.
Yay.
So it's been a blessing to me.
That's wonderful. Brilliant. Okay. And there may be people in the room who, for whatever reason, wouldn't be able to get to a life group. It might be because of shifts or because they have a young family. So we understand completely that there are people who wouldn't be able to. But for those who are sitting here this morning thinking, oh, I've never been part of a life group, or I haven't been part of a life group for a while, would you recommend people join life groups? And
yes.
If you would, why?
Well, I'm an old bird. I'm probably older than anyone here. I don't know.
That's on her Facebook profile, by the way. And Twitter and Instagram.
And I was I was working out how many years I'd been coming to a life group. I've got it on that bit of paper. It's 46 years.
Wow.
I've been coming to a life group. And when we first moved to Corby, we didn't have a life group to go to. We didn't have a church to go to. We tried everywhere. And I missed it so much. It was just like part of me wasn't operating. So, yes, so we love Life Group. I would recommend everyone that you come, you feel part of it. You don't just come to a church and go home. You can ask your questions. It's not always convenient in a church situation to ask questions. But in your life group, if you've got anything bothering you or you don't understand, you can ask and you get very kind replies and you don't feel you're showing yourself up at all.
That's brilliant. Okay.
What was the question?
The question, so would you recommend people to join life groups? If you would, why?
Yes. Definitely would recommend people to come to a life group. I've been part of life groups in my previous church and in this church. Well, my previous church, I was part of a life group for 30 years. And I've been part of life groups in this church for eight and a bit years. And the reason why I would recommend it is exactly for what Muriel said, but also, in the middle of the week, if you've got a problem or something needs praying for, you just need to lift the phone. Or in the life group that I go to at the moment, we have a group on Messenger, and we just speak to each other on Messenger and encourage each other. We pray for each other. And it's just lovely to be part of that. As Muriel said, when you come to church, you don't get the chance to speak personally to people. If you've got anything that you really, really want praying for, then you can just speak to the people in the group, ask questions, and I would really, really recommend it.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend the live group for anybody, because it's a place where you get to know people, you know, more intimately and more personally, and you can always bring whatever issues that you have, and we pray together. And it's been wonderful, and I really enjoy, especially the when we share the scriptures. You know, people present different, you know, perspectives and, you know, their experiences and testimonies, you know, which has been a big blessing, you know, to me personally. So I will recommend it.
That's wonderful. Let's give them a round of applause, everyone. Thank you. So you can either go back to your seats or stay there, because that's probably a bit comfier. If you are somebody who uses the Bible app, has anyone got the Bible app on their phone or their iPad? If you search today, on right now, on the events section, you'll see that there is an outline of today's service, including all the scriptures that we've shared. And on there as well, we've put down the five goals of Life Group, and they are these. We want our Life Groups to be a place where we can encounter God together, because we believe that the presence of God is what sets us apart from all the people of the earth. And so we're going to worship, and we're going to pray, and we're going to seek God's face. And that's what we want our life groups to be, places of encountering God together. We want them to be a place of being family together and expressing the love that we've spoken about this morning together. A place to be equipped together, where we can bring ourselves under the word of God and actually apply the scriptures to our everyday lives and ask all of the difficult questions that we might have about how the Christian life works. A place to serve together. All of us are individually gifted, and together we bring what we have to bring benefit to other people's lives. And sometimes on a Sunday, it's difficult to express who God's made you to be, and it can be frustrating at times to be here because there are only a certain number of outlets for ministry. There are teams that meet upstairs for kids groups and youth and welcome teams and refreshment teams and stewarding teams and sound and media and worship and preachers and all of that kind of thing. But it might be that you're sitting here thinking, oh, God's made me to be so much more than this, and I want an outlet for the gifting that he's placed in my life. Then I would encourage you to join a life group, because it's in a smaller group that you will have the opportunity to use the gift that God has given you to serve one another. And all of those things are on the Bible app event if you search it up today. I want to finish by giving you an opportunity, if you haven't already, to sign up to a life group. So the stewards are going to hand some forms around. Just to let you know, when we did this same thing last week, we had 22 people sign up for life groups. And so if you think about that as a percentage of 200 people, that's 10% of 200. That's awesome. And so if you're currently a part of a life group, or you have recently signed up to a life group, I wonder if you could do something and just stand to your feet. If you're already part of one, or if you've recently signed up to one. That's wonderful. And I just want to thank you all for your commitment to your groups, and look forward to this new term when the life groups start up, and all of the blessing that you'll receive, and also the blessing that you'll be to the people in those groups. Thank you. Take your seats. If you're somebody who would like to join a life group, on this form that we're about to hand out are a list of all of the groups, and maybe we could bring some of them up on the screen. There are two groups that are really at maximum capacity at the moment. I looked on our church management system and saw one of them had nearly 30 people in it, and the other is encroaching on 20 people. So I've just put full, not to say that you can't join those groups, but just that it might be that if you want to join a group where you'll be part of a smaller gathering, then some of the others might be better for you. So all of them will be up on the screen. And so if you see a group on there that you would like to join, put your details on the front, tick one of the boxes on the back, and we will have one of the life group leaders get in touch with you shortly. So I'm going to end today just by rereading the one another's that we read earlier, just to remind us of why. You know, Sundays is a great opportunity to be together. There's a really powerful corporate dynamic when we gather together as Christians in a building like this. We worship God, and the presence of God is really powerfully present. And we love being together like this. And it's just as in Acts 2, when the church met together in the temple courts, but also from house to house, there have to be other expressions of being church together, of being family together, of loving one another deeply from the heart. And so I would encourage you, life group is just one expression. There are many, many other expressions to show love to one another, but life group is a really great place to start. And so I'd encourage you, if you haven't already, to join a life group. So here they are again. Love one another deeply. Wash one another's feet. Be at peace with one another. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Live in harmony with one another. Stop passing judgment on one another. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you. Instruct one another. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Adam, come on. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Andy, come on. If I'd said that to Nick, you'd have come up, wouldn't you, Nick?
Yeah.
Come on. Come and give me some love. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Mwah. When you come together to eat, wait for one another. Have equal concern for one another. Serve one another in love. If you keep on biting and devouring one another, you'll be destroyed by each other. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying one another. Carry one another's burdens. Be patient, bearing with one another. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Do not lie to one another. Bear with one another. Forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Teach one another. Admonish one another. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for one another. Encourage one another. Build one another up. Spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Do not slander one another. Do not grumble against one another. Confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. And clothe yourself with humility towards one another. Let's just pray. Father, I thank you today that you are not just a God who loves, but the God of love. You are love. And every time we see love expressed, it's a shadow of the love that you have, Lord God. It's a representation of of the love that you have, because every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of heavenly lights. Father, thank you that when we see love in one another, Father, we can receive your love through one another. And Lord, I pray a blessing on Hope Church, Father, that we may be a church not known for being big, or a church for it known for its graphics, or known for its services, or known for this or known for that, but that we are a church that is in love with God the Father, expressed in devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit, and that we are a church that love one another well, a church that loves the world in Jesus' name, that love would be the thing that defines us, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, that you will pour your love into our hearts so that our lives can be filled with that love and overflow in love to one another. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I wonder if we can stand to our feet and just finish this morning by worshiping the Lord together.